The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is the Early Odds Week 2 NFL Podcast. Myself and John Breach. It is Sunday, September 12th, while we're recording this. Maybe you're listening on Monday, September 13th. Either way, thanks for checking it out. John Breach, what's up, buddy?
Brinson, I'm in a great mood. You know why, but I'm not going to tell you why, because we all know why.
I see the record scratch. He didn't miss. The Bengals kicker banged him a field goal and gave the Flying Breeches a much-needed week one win over old friend Mike Zimmer. On this episode, we will look at an early preview of week two odds. This is important because if you jump on these odds early, you'll get better numbers. For instance, you'd think that if you got the 52 on the Titans-Cardinals over last week, you'd be in great shape. Turns out you wouldn't be because the kicker missed. Oh, he missed. He missed a kick, and that under somehow 0 points in the fourth quarter, that loss. That was a tough L for yours truly. But by and large, a pretty good week on the betting front. Let's have another good one in week two. Coming up, of course, in the feed, our Sunday flagship program, their weekly recap show with myself, Breach, and Ryan Wilson. And you can watch this on YouTube. It will be up on YouTube immediately. If you watch on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. YouTube.com/Pick Six. You'll get all our content earlier than you do through your podcast feed. So make sure and check that out. Breach, let's start with Thursday Night Football. The Giants are heading to Washington. There is a line on this. You can find them out on the internet right now. They're not up at all, every shop, but the Washington football team -4.5 against the Giants, even though it appears that Ryan Fitzpatrick could potentially miss time with what is described as a hip injury. Taylor Heinicke filled it pretty admirably. Washington lost to the Chargers on Sunday. The Giants, though, got destroyed by the Broncos and looked like a team that is very susceptible to good defenses. So with that in mind, Washington -4.5, the over-under 43. What do you think about this game?
I think this is a very fascinating game. As you said, the fact that there's a point spread on the board is somewhat surprising because usually when you see a starting quarterback go down, the odds makers just pull that thing as quickly as possible. But you know what? This is Ryan Fitzpatrick. This isn't Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. There's not going to be much of a downgrade at quarterback if Washington has to start Taylor Heinicke. We saw him play against the Buccaneers in the playoffs last year. He almost pulled off an upset. He probably runs this offense almost as well as Fitzpatrick. I just think Ron Rivera liked that Fitzpatrick has almost 15 years of football knowledge out there.
By the way, Taylor Heinicke, that game against Tampa Bay, Steve Palazzo of PFF said that was the highest graded game by any quarterback in the playoffs last year.
And look at what Tampa Bay's defense did the rest of that postseason. They terrorized everyone. Taylor Heinicke, so the highest graded game of the playoffs came against the best defense. So, I think Taylor Heinicke can go in there and have success. So I'm not even thinking about the quarterback position on Washington's end when I look at this game. You know what I am thinking about, though? The quarterback position on the Giants' end. The human turnover machine, Daniel Jones, had another ugly turnover in week one. We saw the Giants driving down the score. You mentioned that game. This was actually, it could have been a close game, except the Giants kept shooting themselves in the foot. And one of those bullets through the foot was Daniel Jones fumbling it in Broncos territory. They surely would have gotten a field goal, maybe even a touchdown, kept it close, but it didn't happen. Now, the one thing that's weird, that as good as Washington's defense is, The one defense that Daniel Jones always plays well against is Washington.
Yeah.
Literally, Daniel Jones has 8 wins in his entire career. 4 of them have come against Washington. 50% of his wins against Washington. So this is the one game where he always comes out. He looks like Tom Brady. I don't know what it is about playing this team. And if Washington, when they're playing a non-divisional team, I like them a lot because their defense is hard to attack. We saw them do well against the Chargers. But when you're playing a divisional team, you never know. It just seems like Daniel Jones likes facing them. And you know what, Brinson? I am going to take the Giants to cover here, and I might even pick them to pull off the upset.
Ooh, spicy. I don't know if I could go that far. I'll tell you, though, I would like to get in on the under here at 43. That would be my pick of these matchups. First of all, short week, Thursday night at Washington. That field turf is really slow. I mean, just slow and sluggish, and you don't see a lot of scoring. You know, the turnovers are a bit of a concern, but I think you'll see Jason Garrett be very conservative. You'll see Ron Rivera and Scott Turner be fairly conservative. I don't think they'll want to risk exposing Taylor Heinicke to what is a pretty decent Giants front as well. Although Teddy Bridgewater was able to really throw all over him. And they could have had more points, honestly, that the Broncos could have. That was, and I think the Broncos and Washington are fairly comparable. The only reason I don't back Washington is because of that, the Danny Dimes thing. He just had
Gary
against Ron Rivera or against Washington, I guess. So I will take the under in that game. Would probably lean to taking the points if it's over a field goal in a divisional matchup on a Thursday night between two low scoring teams. The Bills are headed to play the Dolphins. Bills gagged against the Steelers on Sunday, and the Dolphins pulled off a shocking win in New England, taking down Bill Belichick and Mac in Mac Jones's debut. The Bills are 3.5 point favorites on the road in Miami. The over under here, 47, Breach.
You don't want to say a week 2 game is a must win game, but if you're the Buffalo Bills, you are going to Miami this week knowing that if you lose, you're 2 games out of first place 2 weeks into the season, which is
hey, for those of us who took the Bills over 11.5 and so 10.5, this is a must win game.
Yeah, this is panic time in Buffalo for the Buffalo bettors, for the coaching staff, for everyone who was backing the Bills this season. You got to be a little bit worried. They went out and they got punched in the mouth by the Steelers defense. It wasn't even like Pittsburgh went up and down the field. Steelers just made a couple big plays. They had a block punt for a touchdown. That's a Bills special teams disaster. And they bottled up the Bills offense. I thought the Bills defense did play pretty well in this game. And so I don't think the Bills offense is going to get bottled up 2 weeks in a row. I know that the Dolphins have a pretty good defense, but I mean, we saw what Buffalo did to them last year. It just seems like, again, Josh Allen, it feels like he's going to have a big game. I don't see Buffalo losing 2 in a row. And at 3.5 points, I think I'm going to take the Bills to cover.
Okay. I just can't believe that the Dolphins did what they did. But the problem is that Dolphins defense was able to slow down the Patriots. And that's different than slowing down the Buffalo Bills. There's a couple of fluke plays. There's a block punt, right, which led to a touchdown. Big Ben, it's just a wild second half turnaround for the Pittsburgh Steelers here. Huge win for Pittsburgh. I think I would lean towards the Bills as well. What I might like in this spot though, Breach, is the under 47, because we saw the Dolphins are going to be I don't know if they're extremely conservative, but they're just not really aggressive. And they're bringing in Jacoby Brissett. They're going for some short yardage stuff by sneaking Brissett as a quarterback. And the Bills early on in that game against Pittsburgh, it looked like that was a stone cold under. I mean, it was no scoring. And the Bills should have put up more points, and then all of a sudden they can't be come back on. That's a lot of road chalk for a division game, but I'm not sure I want to back the Dolphins. I will take the under in that one as well. The 49ers are headed to Philadelphia. 49ers had a scare against the Lions late on Sunday. A wild finish to that game, but the San Francisco was able to hold on. Philly, no such scare. Jalen Hurts would look fantastic. Almost won me a ton of money in DFS. Like at one point I was winning 50 grand in the afternoon session. Yeah. And then I ended up winning like $1,000. So that's so cool.
That's not bad, Brinson.
No, but it looked like at any rate, I had a Hurts. I had stacked double-stacked Hurts with Devonta Smith and Jalen Reagor. And Reagor looks like he might be able to break out too. We'll get to it on the recap podcast, but I'm a little worried we might owe some apologies to Debo over the course of this season. Let's just put it at that. Anyway, 49ers minus three at the Eagles, over under 48. What say you, Breach?
Well, and we will also talk about on the recap podcast how you should spend that $1,000, like getting Jalen Hurts tattoo for Debo. But for, you know what? This game is interesting. I think this is one of the most fascinating point spreads coming up in week two that we've seen. Because look, the Philadelphia Eagles, I have no idea what to make of them. Are they that good, or are the Falcons that bad, or is it somewhere in between? I think right now I feel like it's somewhere in between. The Falcons aren't great. So they were a very beatable team. And you know what good teams do? They beat very beatable teams. And so that's what we saw. I was actually thought the Eagles offense looked a lot better than we probably thought they were going to be. Everybody was a little low on the Eagles this year, except for Debo. And so I liked them. But then you look at the 49ers, and for 58 minutes on Sunday, they looked like the best team in the NFL. Looked like they were going to just blow out the Lions. And then somehow they just had a total meltdown the final 2 minutes and almost blew a 41-17 lead. And so I think what I make of this game is that, look, we have a West Coast team, 10 a.m. start, East Coast. I think Philadelphia is better than Detroit. I think the Eagles are going to give the 49ers some trouble. And you know what? I love a good home underdog who's coming off a big win. So I am going to take the Eagles to cover. Not sure who I'm going to pick straight up yet, but definitely the Eagles to cover.
I think I would probably lean that way as well in this one. That's 3 points is a lot for a team that is now, that was going to have its home debut. The 49ers show they're vulnerable to you know, you can put up points on them. Great, it was garbage time. I mean, the 49ers were lighting them up. I'm a little worried, too, about Jimmy Garoppolo. And he played okay, and they rotated Trey Lance in there. Trey Lance just, you know, anyway, I'm a little worried about them, even with a good offensive line, against that Eagles defensive front, because they were swarming the Falcons on Sunday. So I think I like the over in this game as well. Anything under 50, the 49ers are going to put up a bunch of points, and I think you're going to see the Eagles be able to do the same as well. Jalen Hurts is just difficult to defend. Nick Sirianni's offense looked good. So lean towards the over here right now, probably lean towards the Eagles as well. Coming also, Cowboys at Chargers. The Chargers pulled off a win against Washington. Cowboys, of course, lost on Thursday night in week one. Chargers minus three, over under 52, Breach.
Yeah, I like this game. You know what? Look, we saw what the Chargers did to Washington. They went up and down the field. Washington's supposed to be one of the best defenses in football. They couldn't stop Justin Herbert. That game probably could have been a blowout if the Chargers' red zone offense was any good. They were inside the 20-yard line six times, only scored two touchdowns because they had two ugly turnovers, both by Justin Herbert, one interception, one fumble, and then settled for two field goals. You know, if you punch the ball in the end zone one or two more times, just go 4 of 6 in the red zone, all of a sudden this game's a blowout. So I think the Chargers, if they can do that against Washington's defense, I think they're going to be able to put up big numbers against the Cowboys defense. So the question is, can the Cowboys put up a lot of points on the Chargers defense? I was shocked at how well the Cowboys played against the Buccaneers. I think they are going to be able to move the ball. I think this game is going to be a shootout. But the one thing I will say is that the Chargers have a better secondary right now than probably the Buccaneers. You have Derwin James, you have Chris Harris, you have guys who can match up with all the Cowboys' weapons, and I think that is going, in the end, going to be the advantage. I'm going to take the Chargers to cover here.
Yeah, the only concern I would have with the Chargers and them covering, and this year Adderley in that secondary as well, Asante Samuel Jr., they definitely have players on defense. My only concern is that game may very well be a situation for the Chargers where they're facing a distinct home field disadvantage in the form of lots of Cowboys fans coming in. So we'll see about that. But neither here nor there. At any rate, this is something you got to bet the over now. It's 52.5 already. That is a ton of points. I get it. But the Buccaneers could name their number against that Cowboys defense. And you're going to see a situation where the Chargers will be able to do the same thing. They're not going to struggle in the red zone against the Cowboys. They're not going to struggle to move the ball or get the ball in the end zone against the Cowboys. Justin Herbert's going to have a big game, and Dak Prescott's going to have a big game, and they're going to sling the ball around. So get the over-under now. I can see, I mean, you know, NFL over-under simply don't close at like 56, but we are seeing a distinct lack of holding this year already, I feel like, and I would expect that we see plenty of points in this one. So give me the over in that game. Probably lean towards the Chargers as well. Vikings at Cardinals. Cardinals minus 2.5, over under 51. The Cardinals coming off a Kyler Murray is in the MVP conversation type of game, and the Vikings, of course, losing to the lowly Bengals.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at how close this point spread was. If you watch the Vikings play on Sunday, obviously I did because they were playing the Bengals. Their offensive line got beat up by the Bengals. The Bengals, who had one of the worst defenses in football last year, who couldn't put any pressure on anyone, was just barging through the Vikings O-line. It was ugly. And then you look at the Cardinals did on Sunday. You know what they did? They beat up an okay offensive line in Tennessee. Chandler Jones was so good that he got Taylor Lewan benched with it. Chandler Jones, 3 sacks in the first quarter, 5 sacks overall. I have no idea how the Vikings are going to protect Kirk Cousins here. I think this one could actually get pretty ugly. I have a hard time seeing how, unless Dalvin Cook goes off for 120, 130, 140 yards, something like that, I don't think this game's going to be close. So at 2.5 points, maybe I am just reading this completely wrong, but this is probably, out of all the point spreads we're talking about today, the game I love the most is the Cardinals covering here.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think you take the Cardinals here. Arizona just, I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury's fixed everything, but the defense is clearly a lot better. Chandler Jones, 5 sacks, against the Titans. And I mean, Taylor Lewan tweeted out afterwards, like, you know, he kicked my ass. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I got my ass kicked.
We all saw it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we know, Taylor. Again, I know I'm playing all these over-unders. I tend to look towards the over here as well. I need to go back and look at the pace for these guys, because I do believe both of these teams could potentially get a little sluggish just in terms of how they moved up and down the field. But Arizona is typically really aggressive early, and then we'll sort of slow down and try to be, you know, a little more methodical and run clock. And they didn't do that as much against the Titans. They were willing to just keep cutting loose. And Minnesota, the key is to get this over, Arizona needs to score first. And then Arizona needs a lead, and Minnesota will put up points coming back, even against an impressive defense. But yeah, I think Cardinals, you'd lock that in as early as possible. Titans at the Seahawks. Seahawks -5.5. The over under 52.5. The Titans were miz on Sunday against the Cardinals, 13 points total, whereas the Seahawks were fantastic. Pete Carroll said afterwards that he's never seen a cohesion between a quarterback and an offensive coordinator like Russell Wilson and Shane Waldron. Seattle whipped up on Indy, looked great on offense, reminded me a lot of last year, and that's why they're heavily favored here, Breach.
Yeah, I've literally in the 9 years I've been covering the NFL for CBS Sports, I have never seen Seahawks fans praising their offensive coordinator on Twitter. And that's what was happening in this game. I couldn't believe it. I was rubbed my eyes to see if it was real. And it was. Everyone, I mean, Shane Waldron called a great game. Russell Wilson looked rejuvenated. Everyone, they were involving everyone on that offense. And when you get everyone involved, that makes the offense nearly impossible to stop. And on the flip side, you have a Titans team that couldn't get out of their own way on Sunday against the Cardinals. You know, I don't think it's going to be that bad. I don't think we're going to see Ryan Tannehill turn the ball over 3 times like he did against Arizona. I think Tennessee is going to play a lot better. The one thing I will say about the Seahawks, though, is that this is their home opener. Pete Carroll has never lost a home opener. He is 11-0 straight up. Now, that being said, there has been some crazy home openers. Last year, that wild game against the Patriots where Cam Newton got stopped at the 1-yard line. Seattle won by 5. 2 years ago, they beat the Bengals by 1 in a crazy game. 4 years ago, they beat the Dolphins by 2 in a crazy game. Basically, we've all seen craziness in Seattle. It always happens. I like the Seahawks to win, but I think I'm going to take the Titans to cover, because that would be crazy, and that would be Seattle in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Seattle, too, and you saw this from Indy, I think you can throw on Seattle still. Maybe you might be able to run on them quite as much as you used to or last year, but I think you can throw on them. And so I would think that Tennessee will come out motivated and try to unleash Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, and Julio Jones. I mean, they were embarrassed. So I would tend to think that Tennessee can backdoor cover this at 5.5. So I would probably lean in that direction as well. But yeah, I'll certainly pick Seattle to win and expect Russell. I mean, Russell's going to be one of the top DFS picks next week because of how big Kyler Murray went against this terrible Tennessee Titans defense. You're going to see some Russ, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf stacks. And wouldn't be surprised if DK is the guy to go off after. I guess he had a pretty good game too, but Lockett had a monster game, 2 touchdowns and 100 yards against the Colts. Finally, the Lions at the Packers. Packers -10.5 on Monday Night Football, the over under 49. The Packers home opener after scoring 3 points. 3 points against the Saints in Jacksonville in a game that was humiliating for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in could very well spell problems for the Lions in primetime.
Yeah, this I can't believe how badly the Packers played. We didn't learn anything about them. It was a disaster. This is probably the last time the Packers are ever going to agree to play a game in Jacksonville unless it's against the Jags. But look, you know what? Green Bay has had some ugly losses under Matt LaFleur. We've seen it. We saw it last year. They lost to the Buccaneers 38-10. The year before, they got blown out by the Chargers. It just happens. And, you know, they only lost three games each season. One of them always ends up being a blowout. What do? They bounce back the next week with a huge win. On top of that, this is a primetime game at Lambeau Field. In the Packers' last three primetime games at Lambeau, they're 3-0, and they're averaging 18.7 point margin of victory. They're winning by 18.7 points a game. So, maybe this isn't going to be a total blowout because the Lions looked okay against the 49ers, but Green Bay is going to be angry going in. And so even though I hate taking double-digit favorites, I think I'm going to take them to cover.
Yeah, I'm not betting against there. I mean, the Lions should have lost by 25. And they had this crazy comeback. They got four onside kicks last year, and they got a crazy one on Sunday afternoon. The Packers are going to be pissed off, and it's prime time in Lambeau Field. I don't know that you have to jam it now because I don't think it gets up to two touchdowns or anything like that. But absolutely would look at the Packers in this spot because Aaron Rodgers is going to come out mad and he's going to light up a division opponent. All right, Breach. Great stuff. That's the week two early lines. Look ahead. Subscribe, rate, and review. Hit that comment button. Hit that like button on YouTube. And, of course, in the podcast feed as well. And check out in the feed full recap of Sunday's games. Talk to you guys later. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.